Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. The Christmas edition. The holiday edition. Tarik, are you excited? You pumped?
How many Tarik El-Bashirs do you know that get excited about the about Christmas?
I am, of course, your host.
You're just going to gloss over that?
Going right past that. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan, with me today. You heard him already. He's the Capitals insider.
My wife is from Belfast, so we do celebrate Christmas.
He is the Randy to my Ralphie. A little bit of Christmas humor there.
No idea what that is.
He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik, you don't know a Christmas story?
Nope.
In all your years of being married to a woman from Belfast, you don't know?
Yeah, it does not resonate with me.
All right. Well, what?
Ralphie and who?
Ralphie and Randy. Ralphie's the main character, and Randy is his little brother.
Ridiculous.
All right. What me and the Grinch will be talking about today, it is a Letters to Santa episode. We will talk about the return of Nathan Walker and the importance of TJ Oshie, but mostly we'll be answering your questions because you people came through in a big way with your letters to Santa, a.k.a. the Capitals Face Off podcast.
Nice. Nice.
First off, the Capitals lost prospect Nathan Walker when he was claimed off of waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. But now, turnabout is fair play as the Caps have acquired Walker right back after the Oilers placed them on waivers. Tarik, help the fans make sense of what happened here and what the future holds for Walker.
Well, I honestly think that the Capitals thought from the get-go that if he did get claimed, they were going to get him back in the organization. I mean, that was kind of floated out there from the sources I spoke to right after he was claimed in the first place. So I think they already kind of, if they didn't know for sure, they had an inkling that he would eventually find himself back on waivers and they would get another shot at bringing back their 2014 third-round draft pick. So the situation is he got an opportunity in Edmonton. It wasn't much of an opportunity. He played limited minutes in two games for the Oilers, had a couple of shots on goal, no points.
Right.
And the Oilers got healthy, and they decided they didn't need him anymore. And when they put him back on waivers, the Capitals said, hey, we spent all these years developing him in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't pan out after making the team out of training camp, that doesn't mean that he's never going to pan out. Still only 23 years old. He's a good story. He's a good kid. He plays the game the right way. He just has some growing to do in terms of playing hockey at the highest level. And I think the fact that the Caps even went back after him, I think that speaks pretty highly of what they think of him.
Yeah.
It just means that maybe he's not ready.
Sure.
And Barry Trotz said as much when they waived him the first time.
Yeah.
Now he's going to get a second chance. And because it's the holiday freeze has started, they weren't able to claim him off waivers and send him directly to Hershey. So he's actually going to meet the team in Arizona for their game against the Coyotes on Friday. And he'll remain with the team through at least December 28th when the holiday roster freeze is lifted. And then the Capitals can either send him down or they can keep him. Because remember, there's two games that are going to be played here.
Yeah,
someone could get hurt.
Happens,
yeah, someone could get hurt. And two people could get hurt. And if they feel like he fills the role of the person who got hurt better than someone who's in Hershey right now, maybe he just stays up.
Best guess, I think you and I are on the same page. He probably ends up in Hershey if all goes well.
I think so. I mean, I think had the roster freeze not been in place, he'd already be
there. Yeah,
he'd already be in Hershey. They got some big games this weekend, or this week even. But because of the
the roster freeze. Right. You know, he's joining the team.
Good to see him back in the fold. He is a good kid for sure. But I do hope that this assuages some of the anger that some people felt over the Caps losing him the first time. This guy was put on waivers twice. So that,
a fan is short for fanatic, right?
Right.
And we all are fans of various teams. Mm. I try not to be a fan of the team I cover because it clouds the way you sure. view things. But I have there are things out there where I'm not as rational or as measured or yeah. as even keeled right. when viewing what's going on with that club. And I understand why fans got angry. Here's a 5'9" generously listed 5'9", 186-pound spark plug from Australia who speaks with a cool accent, who runs around like a miniature wrecking ball.
Right.
Of course they love him. Scored a goal in his first NHL game. In reality, if you're a talent evaluator, you say here is an incomplete piece. He's not ready yet to play consistently at this level. Fans don't necessarily see it that way. They see guys that they like for sure. one reason or another, and that's why they kind of flipped out. And not right. everyone did. There were a few of them that flipped out, but he's back, so calm down.
Yeah. You know, people can be fanatics about the Caps. Tarek, if they discontinue a certain menu item from Taco Bell, he's flipping the table and throwing chairs across the office.
I actually, I thought you were going to say in the restaurant. I never do anything but drive through Taco Bell.
You drive through. Yeah, we all
strictly drive through.
We all know. Anyway, let's move on to TJ Oshie. He made his return to the lineup on Tuesday against the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
Before the game, here's what he had to say about getting back into the lineup.
The whole team's playing pretty good hockey right now. And on the team side of things, you kind of feel bad that someone's playing good hockey and they're going to have to sit out. So hopefully that'll mess up the mojo, but... selfishly, I want to get back in there and join in on some of the fun. This is my fourth, I think, so far in my documented in my career. So this one was the least severe of the other ones. So.
A candid Oshie there revealed that he did in fact suffer a concussion, the fourth documented concussion of his career. Talk about just what Oshie means to the Caps.
Well, you know, a lot. To
that is the type of analysis that people keep tuning in for.
And let me explain.
Okay.
He is kind of like the Energizer Bunny that gets everyone going. And, you know, we had Anson Carter on the other NBC Sports Washington podcast last night, and he revealed, I mean, as we know... It doesn't matter what profession, you can kind of get into the doldrums of the year, you know, where things aren't as exciting. And you need someone who can rev everybody up. Trotz uses a great term all the time, drag people into the fight, which is, you know, there's 20 dudes on the bench, 18 are just kind of looking, kind of going, I don't know if I want to get in there. I don't know if I want to get involved. And there's two going, guys, come on. You know, what are we doing? Get off the bench. Let's get involved in this. Let's right. get engaged. He's the guy that on a nightly basis drags everyone into the fight. Because if you're sitting on the bench and you aren't feeling great and you're not really into this game and you see 6 foot tall, again, generally listed, TJ Oshie, you know, running around like a wrecking ball, you know, hitting guys, you know, firing up everyone, and you know, in pregame, it just gets everyone excited. It gets them engaged, and you need that kind of guy. But on top of just being that spark plug, that lightning rod, he's a good hockey player.
Yeah,
he's a productive hockey player. Mm-hmm. You can trust him. Anywhere in any situation, he can kill penalties. He's obviously in the middle of the diamond on the power play. You know, I think he's got 7 power play goals, which is the most on the team right now. Even though he's missed 6 games, so he's an integral part of what they do hockey wise. But he's an integral part of their off ice persona, collective persona, and getting him back is huge. I thought his first game back looked like a guy who was coming back from 6 games off. You know, I thought he slowly got better as the game went along. Avoided injury after he took a shot off the knee late in the game. He actually blocked more shots, 3, than any other forward on either team. So, you know, that's another thing. He just does those little things. You know, right. That was more getting struck by a puck than actually blocking a puck. But you know what? He stayed in the way. He didn't do a flamingo and took it right off the kneecap and it looked like it really stung him.
Right.
Very important part of this team. And, you know, once he gets back into a groove, I think that when you look at the way Barry Trotz constructs his lines, he likes to have, you know, players who can bring different elements. And in Verana, you have a quick strike, very fast, young, energetic player on the wing. You got Kuznetsov, who's a great skater, very smart, very cerebral, great puck distributor, sometimes too great a puck distributor, sometimes is thinking the game on a level that no one else is thinking. We see that with his passes sometimes. And then you got TJ Oshie, who can, again, like is a Swiss Army knife, can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gets in hard on the forecheck. You can trust in, you know, in situations where they got to be a little more defensive. Can post up in the slot and, you know, snipe shots for goals. I mean, he's so once that group gets its act together, gets a little cohesion, I think that's going to be one of the better second lines in the league.
Definitely.
Can I give the fans out there a little advice as it comes to TJ, as it pertains to TJ Oshie?
Sure.
If you guys ever get to Capital One, or even if you're at a road arena and you get there early, watch warmups. You will trust me. Watch number 77 in red during warmups, or in white, whatever jersey they're wearing. After they kind of go through their line rushes and they kind of reveal who's playing with whom, and they kind of then go off to their little own little world where they can kind of just shoot or do whatever they want for a few minutes. Watch what he does. He literally skates around the ice and attacks every one of his teammates with his stick. He whacks them on the butt so hard that every single one of them, like, it wakes them up. I mean, he does it when they're not really expecting it. Like, you know, guys will be down on a knee along the blue line, you know, stretching or doing whatever. He'll just go one by one, whack, 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 whack. He'll chase down the goaltenders. He'll give them a good one. And everyone they just love it. They think it's the funniest thing. Everyone laughs. It wakes everyone up because, you know, you're in your warm-up process, and then you just get a hard whack on the ass, and you're like, what? Oh, TJ.
Yeah.
And then the end is the absolute best. He goes and he kills Tom Wilson with his stick. Yes. And he hits him so hard.
Him like three times. And right. It gives him good hard whack.
Like you can hear it.
Yeah.
And then Wilson turns around and hits TJ on the butt with his stick really, really hard. So hard that TJ usually falls down to two knees, to both knees. And you can see on his face, he's just like, ah, that really hurt. And then they go in the locker room and get ready for the game. So, look, I mean, is that a tangible thing that helps you win a hockey game? No, but it's something really funny to watch, and it definitely gets the guys charged up.
Oshie's talked about that before. Some guys take the warm-ups really seriously. Oshie has said he needs about 2 minutes to warm up, and then he's fine. So he just spends the rest of the time attacking.
Actually, I think he said he doesn't want a warm-up. Like he just would rather just come out of the dressing room and go right into the game.
Anyway, we have a lot of fan questions to get through, and we will dive right into that after a quick word from our sponsor. Well, Tark, the people aren't sending letters to Santa anymore. They are sending their letters to the Capitals Face Off podcast.
And the Grinch.
We have, you're the Grinch.
Yeah, I know. This.
We have a lot of questions to get to, so let's dive right in. Greg Christian.
What's up, Greg?
Is a goal scored during a delayed penalty considered a power play goal? I know on-ice strength doesn't change, and that's an argument for it not being considered a power play goal, but if it's not a power play goal, why is the impending penalty canceled? I think it should be considered a power play goal. What are y'all's thoughts?
Next. That made my brain hurt just listening to that question. I know exactly what you're saying, but
the reason why it's not considered a power play goal is because technically there's not an extra player on the ice. You've traded a goalie for a skater,
exactly.
But you still have six players on the ice, so it's not an advantage.
Right.
Whether or not they should keep the penalty after a goal is scored is a hotly debated topic among NHL circles.
I can tell you this. If you want to increase scoring,
scoring is
already up around the league. But if you really want to increase it, I bet every team will give up 10 more goals a year if they still have to serve the penalty after getting scored on with the extra attacker on the ice.
Right.
You know what? This league has changed the rules so many times. Why not?
You know, it wouldn't bother me per se.
You know what would bother me? Like changing the size of the goal or something.
Yes, that would bother me. That is a horrible idea. That would bother me. I hate that idea.
Doing those other things, like, you know, we were just discussing, that wouldn't bother me as much.
No. Eddie My question is simple.
What's up, Eddie?
Should we trust Grubauer more with starts approximately after the All-Star break, starting Holpe and Groovy by one game each so that they both are ready come playoff time?
Well, I know they went into this season with the idea of making it like a 50-30 split.
Right.
Not percentage games, you know.
I think it was they don't want him to go 8 days without
right,
a start.
Exactly. Yeah. So they were hoping to get Groovy up to 30 starts. Some, you know, some give or take a few,
mm-hmm.
Which would have been an increase over what 24, 25 he had last year.
Right.
So, Groovy didn't get off to the best start. It wasn't really his fault, but, you know, he had that game in Philadelphia where the team didn't show up, but right. He also had a rough day. And so, you know, he didn't get his first win for a few games there. I mean, what, 5 or 6 games, wasn't mm-hmm. it? 6 games before he got his first win. I think that now they have built a bit of a cushion. And it looks like they've straightened things out, and guys are on the same page, and they're enjoying being around each other, and they're you know, winning is a great deodorant. And, you know, everything is just, you know, really moving in the right direction in almost every phase of their game right now. I think that maybe this is the time to start introducing Groovy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, do you want to disrupt what's working so well right now? It's always that kind of balance, you know. Right. Things are working well. Do you want to, you know, do something that could disrupt Holpe, who's been outstanding as of late?
Yeah. All right. Jake. Oh, Jake.
What's up, Jake?
I know a lot of people talk about trading Grubauer, but if we think he is a starting caliber goalie, wouldn't it be smarter to trade Holpe for the bigger return? Short answer, no.
No.
Longer answer, you have a...
No.
You have a Vezina caliber goalie in his prime right now. Why on earth would you ever trade that for a goalie who you think has a high ceiling, but you don't know? I mean, eventually you have to, but you make that decision when Holpe's like 33 because you're saying, okay, now we want to move on to the goalie of the future. Right. You don't do that while Holpe is in his prime.
No.
Yeah, I've heard this a lot. The NHL is not the stock market.
Right.
You need your best players, and it doesn't make sense to trade them when they're at their peak just so you can get a higher return.
Could you imagine what would happen in that dressing room if they showed up one morning and Holpe had been traded? I mean, like, yeah. That would be...
And it's not that they don't like Grubauer.
Right.
But there would be a revolt in that room.
I mean, it's just... I mean, for you're heading towards... possibly being in first place by the end of the month in the league.
Right.
Why would you do something that drastic to improve what? To get better where?
I've heard this so much. Yeah, it's such a ridiculous thought. With all due... Thanks for listening, Jake, but that's a ridiculous question. But please give us a good review. Jimmy S. The Caps have not found a trade partner for Grubauer yet. But there's a team in the division that looks like they could use a goalie.
The Islanders?
Islanders.
Oh, I didn't know he was going to say it. They're terrible.
Look like contenders, but their goaltending stinks.
Halak.
I just want to know what your all's thoughts were on trading within the division. Do you ever trade to division teams or rivals?
I look, depending on what the return is, mm-hmm. I mean, you're giving me Josh Bailey? Okay.
Right.
Give me Thomas Hickey? I don't know. I mean, you give me a good player, I think about it. I mean, I think about it. Here's my concern about trading Grubauer right now. Goaltenders get hurt. I mean, look at right. Vegas. They went through like 5 at one point. Who are you ready to put this team's hopes and dreams in the hands of Phoenix Copley or Vitek Vanacek? I don't know.
No. The short answer there, no.
I don't know.
Neither's playing all that well. I think
so many teams have found out in recent years that you need two good goaltenders mm-hmm. to get to where you want to get to. And I think had this team continued to struggle and started looking like maybe it was time to really retool, of course he's a chip you could use to go get what you need.
Right.
But now you're looking like a contender.
Yeah. Having two goalies of their caliber on your team is a luxury that a lot of teams can't afford. Right now, you're the Caps. You can afford it because right. you're playing great.
Right.
And I know having two rookies on the defense is a concern come playoff time. But right now, I don't know why you would shake things up unless someone comes to you with a deal that you can't turn down. Yeah. Unless it's the Penguins.
So, but, you know, I wouldn't have an issue trading in the division if the return was, you know, not
except the Penguins.
Yeah,
I'm not trading a starting goalie to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Do they even take phone calls from the Penguins?
Probably not. I can't imagine.
Those numbers are blocked.
Lisa Consumano.
Lisa?
Sorry for that.
He's terrible with names.
I know. The Metro Division is crazy right now. There are no teams that look like they're out of it. Even the Flyers, after losing 10 straight.
Yeah, what's up with the Flyers? Holy crap.
But not everyone can be a contender through the whole season, right? Who are the real contenders for the division?
Well, this is a question better answered probably at the end of January. But if you put a gun to my head now and you say, who are the real contenders?
I've got four.
Okay, Washington, obviously.
Ooh, I may have five. Ooh.
New Jersey is
for real.
New Jersey is swinging significantly above their weight class right now.
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
The Rangers, pretty good. Columbus, good. Islanders, with that goaltending.
No.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is like the Capitals last year. They're just bored.
They're
just bored. They're waiting for the time. They know when it's time to turn it on.
Yes.
The Flyers are too young.
Pittsburgh, I'm still putting in there among the contenders.
So my pretenders are Islanders, Philly, Carolina. My contenders are Washington, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and New Jersey. Is just kind of like, let me see four more weeks.
Jersey's the one you and I are on the same page. I have all the same. And New Jersey's the one I'm on the fence about. They played great, but I don't know if they could do that the whole year because surprised they're doing it now. And we got one last question. Dan T.
What up, Dan?
If the playoffs start today, the Penguins would be out. It's December, so it doesn't really matter. But if you struggle in the crazy division, you could easily dig yourself a hole. Could the Penguins actually miss the playoffs this year? And would it be a good thing for the Caps? I know this is a crazy hypothetical, but if the Caps actually go on to win the Cup one year and didn't go through Pittsburgh.
Asterix!
Will it be a hollow win?
Unacceptable!
They have to beat Pittsburgh to really get the monkey off their back and get rid of the playoff demons?
No.
No.
Who cares?
If you win the Cup, who cares? Of course, it will feel so sweet
honestly,
to beat the Penguins. But if you win the Cup, who cares?
Ridiculous. Anyway, the Penguins could do the Capitals a huge favor by either not making the playoffs or putting themselves in a position where they get knocked off by someone before they get to the Capitals.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, there's a mental block there.
It's mental, right? Yeah, it has to be mental at this point.
It's mental, physical, and like real. I mean, it's a lot of things. But you know what?
What a confidence boost for this team if Pittsburgh just is not on your path to having to win in the playoffs. That'd be a huge confidence boost by doing nothing just because Pittsburgh isn't there.
I might bet everything I have if the Capitals could get into the playoffs and not have the Penguins to go through. I don't think the Penguins are going to miss the playoffs. Like I said, I think they're bored. They aren't playing great hockey right now. But when you look at where they are in the standings, they're 2 points out of a wild card position. There's no one in between them and the second wild card position. I get worried about teams when they're in a position like Montreal.
Yeah.
Montreal had high hopes coming into this year. Montreal won their division last year. Montreal, as we are speaking right now, is 5 points out of the last wild card spot, but has to jump over Carolina, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. And the Islanders to get into that last. So when I think of holes, that's when you're in a hole.
Right.
When you know, 5 points, 5 points is not big, but now you got to count on four other teams to tank.
Yep.
And so that's when, and you know, you got all these 3 point games, and that's when you start getting in trouble. Pittsburgh is going to do just what they need to do to get from Tuesday to Thursday, Thursday to Saturday, and then they're going to flip the switch sometime in January, kind of like the Capitals did last year. Even though, the Capitals were on their run in January, which was insane. Crosby will score 20 points in the month. Malkin will have 19. You know, Letang will have 18. Murray will, win 10 games, and they'll be, in second place in the Metro behind the Caps.
Yeah.
Going into February.
on pace for a second round matchup with Boston.
on pace for yet another.
I know.
But you know what? I mean, a young man can always dream.
I know. The one thing you also have to consider with the Penguins, they've always been very aggressive on the trade market. If they don't think they're doing well, they're going to make some
moves.
They're
already making some stuff.
Yeah, and they've made some small moves already. So they're going to do what they have to make the playoffs for sure. So I don't think they're going to miss. But if the Capitals, I would love to see the Capitals beat the Penguins.
You know who's going to miss? You know who's going to miss the playoffs? Who's Buffalo. That?
Hot take there from Tark Elbashir.
I'm looking at the standings right now. They have exactly 8 wins in 34 games.
One more than Arizona.
They are a negative 42 in goal differential, which is the mirror of Tampa Bay, which is in first place in the East with a plus 42 goal differential.
That's something real.
Where are the Caps here? Did I lose the Caps? The Caps are plus 11, which isn't great, but...
significantly better than negative 42.
Oh my god. I mean, Buffalo needs to like get blown up.
Yes.
Dude.
They're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I'll take Evander Kane.
We could go a whole podcast discussing what an Evander Kane trade would look like and whether or not you should pull that trigger.
He's the only guy who seems to be playing right
but
now.
But if you want to hear that discussion, go ahead and send it
send in. Send in the question.
If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. To help spread the word about the show. The ratings matter. The reviews matter. The subscriptions matter. All that stuff really matters. So if you do like the show, we would really appreciate it if you take the time. Rate it, review, subscribe. You're listening to it on your device right now. Just while I'm talking, just hop on there. Give us a good rating, a good review, and subscribe to the podcast. You're going to listen anyway, so you might as well subscribe. We appreciate all your participation per usual. For Tark Elbashir, this is JJ Regan from NBC Sports Washington. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Now let's get the puck out of here.